Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man. A girl and I were standing next, walking next to each other, picking up trash, and she looks at me and she goes, "Do you ever have that fear when you're doing this?" And I was like, I was thinking like snakes or, you know, some kind of animal. And she's like, "No, that we're going to come up on a murder." And it's like, you women. Always thinking about murder.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
This half of the show brought to you by betonline.ag, LifeLock at lifelock.com, enter Adam, and Geico, geico.com. It's true. Look, you sit around watch cooking shows all day long, you think about food. You sit around watching those fucking murder shows all day long, you start thinking about murder. Like, that's just the way it is. It's kind of a cruel joke because it's all that like hometown, small town, whatever town, sleepy town. And then every mom is freaked out about their kid walking to school now because they think they're going to be abducted. Right. Of course, I'd be very upset if one of them was abducted. But I don't say which one. And that's what makes me a hero. All right, Joe Coy in studio. We can look forward to the new Netflixer coming out when? In April?
We're looking at April. And I shot. I just got back from New York. I was in the editing bay for about 2 days.
It's.
I edited that whole thing.
Wow.
Could it go any other way though? I mean, doesn't it need your ear, your eye?
Yeah, I would never. I mean, don't get me wrong. The editor was great. The director's cut was great. But they even admit it's like it's better when the talent comes in and sees what I want them to see. My vision.
You know the rhythm. You know the music.
Yeah.
And it's your material.
Yeah, and I think everyone should go in there. I was speaking to my friend Angela, and she was like, "I didn't go in the editing bay." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Go in there. Go watch them cut you up. Like, you want it cut right. That's your work. That's your body of work." So,
how long did it cut in? Cut down to?
We got it to 50. They wanted 60 minutes.
Oh, they have a time.
They want 60, yeah.
Because some says. I see sometimes it's like, it's an hour and 7 minutes, or it's 55 minutes, or whatever.
I think the holy grail is 60
They're
minutes.
Going for, they want it. But they want it at 60.
I got it at 59.59.
Wow.
Yeah, 59.59. And I remember when we were at like 58.30, and I was already in this joke, I go, this is going to land right at 59. Like, I already knew the joke and the pace. And I was standing already, like I was dropping the mic in the editing bay. I was like, look at this. I go, we're going to land at 59. Watch this. And it landed like 59. Like
jap flaps.
Can't wait till it comes
out. Hit the post.
What happens when a Japanese guy talks too much and his lips are just moving?
Jap flaps.
Oh, okay.
All right. We have now... That thing inside your toilet tank, here we call it a ballcock valve, where it blocks the water from going down, always leaks. But in Tokyo, I guess it would be called a...
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, come on.
Jap flaps.
There it is.
All right. Do we have Lynette's mom and the Looney Tune buzzard?
Yes.
Hey, we're going to have Lynette do some kind of demonstration for us today, I hope.
Oh, I hope. Did you hear that?
What are you waiting for?
Sorry, one more.
Do it again.
So this is Lynette's mom.
Hey, we're going to have Lynette do some kind of demonstration for us today, I hope.
Buzzard.
Why, killer, what are you waiting for?
Wow, you're good, Adam. How'd you remember that?
I probably make fun of her three times a week.
Oh, okay.
She is more Italian than the actively racist Italian in this cartoon.
Do we ever
racist if they're white?
Was it ever figured out why the Gina Lola Brigida mom has the country bumpkin, like she literally has Gomer Pyle for
no,
someone.
No.
I need you to fly. I need you to fly. How did she get that for a buzzard son?
I guess he's a, yeah.
We'll never know.
He's a mook.
All right. Should we do a little news with some Gina grad?
Yes.
Our Joe Coy has a hard out about 15 minutes, but he'll hang in.
Adam, I got one more question for Brian, if you don't mind. when you eat pancakes here in the States, they call them flapjacks. But in Japan, what do they call them?
Jap flaps.
Okay.
Just making sure.
All right, here we go.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we talked about the Razzie noms yesterday, and now we have the actual Oscar nominations today. And I don't think there's really any crossover. So everybody's staying in their lane on this one. Every once in a while, you're like, huh, how'd that happen?
It was a precursor, all right.
Yeah. So that's going to be the 91st Academy Awards. It airs on ABC on February 24th.
Hostless.
Oh, it's hostless. It's officially hostless.
It's sort of hostless and all hosts ever. They're having various celebrities come out and do whatever. So Best Picture, there's a lot in this category. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, which seems like a lot.
Brian, where are we at? Where are you at with this?
What's that?
The sort of, it used to be 5,
don't
I guess.
Like it. Don't like it.
And then they kept
don't
going.
Like it.
Does it kind of fly in the face of a category?
Yes, it does.
Like, hey, you need to make the cut.
Yeah, the NBA All-Pro team this year, the first team, it's actually 12 spots. So it's not the 5 best players, it's the 12 best players. You're still first team All-Pro, you know, All-NBA.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA has a rot, you know, there's 5 guys to take the court, but so it is.
But the All-Star team is this number of dudes because it's the best 9 players in baseball or the best, or you know what I mean? It's whatever it is, the Silver Sluggers or the All-Pro team.
So is this just to not piss off more actors so they'll keep showing up for the Oscars?
I agree with Brian. I don't like it as little or as much as you do. The thing that's a little different is there is no set number like a roster. I mean, on the NBA, there's 5 guys. You need 5 starting players.
Right.
You know, you can't 7 and kind of screws it up.
In as much as it's always been 5.
But it's been 5, and five always felt about right.
Right.
And my feeling is, well, if you're 6, then you didn't make the cut this year.
Cynically, you know, they obviously did it so that more people would be talking about more movies, and there'd be more movies to get people interested in, more movies to get people to go see, and more people would then tune in. Because the Black Panther is in there.
That's my movie.
That might not have been in there before.
It just waters everything down.
It does.
Who won last year?
Last year, what?
Shape of Water?
Shape of Water. It's Moonlight. Yeah.
And these movies.
Moonlala.
That used to be, you know, when you would win the best movie, it would be The Godfather or something or whatever it was. Now it's like The Shape of Water. Like, they don't even pop up on anyone's top 10 list. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't make the rotation. Like, no one's kids see them. Like, you can't have a conversation. Oh, it's like that scene in The Shape of Water. Right. Like, no, I didn't see it. Right. You know, like, it's like that thing in Moonlight when the guy, I didn't watch that one. Like, it's not what it was.
I'd have to look back over the years, but this might be the first year I've seen all the nominees before they came out. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen all 8.
Well, let's get your take on this, because here are all 8 of the Best Picture nominees. Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, I Have Feelings, I Texted Brian, The Favorite,
good movie,
Green Book,
yeah, good movie,
Roma,
good movie,
A Star is Born,
very good movie,
and Vice,
also a good movie.
Yeah,
A Star is Born is going to win.
That's what we thought.
That's what we thought,
knows?
But the odds are not. The betting odds are not in its favor.
You got to work the cultural side now into everything. It can't just be white people walking away with trophies anymore.
They win too many trophies.
Yes, traditionally.
You guys win too many trophies.
Traditionally, we have.
But it's a big deal that Black Panther's nominated because it's the first comic book movie that's ever been nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Star is Born is so good.
It's fun entertaining.
It's amazing.
That's amazing.
I couldn't stop texting in a tirade. I couldn't stop texting Brian the other night after seeing Bohemian Rhapsody because I said this would be a fantastic TV movie.
Yeah,
right. It'd be a phenomenal Emmy winner.
Yeah, for free on AMC. Be like, I got my money's worth.
Yeah, but it's not a. It didn't come across as a motion picture that you see in a theater. No. But it'd be a great TV movie.
The problem with that, well, not the problem. Lynette loves that movie because she loves the music.
Of course.
Which I'm trying to explain is not really the movie. That's of course you love that music because everyone loves that music. But yes.
That was kind of your I,
Tonya. It's exactly as. You guys have discussed. It's a TV movie version with a very strong lead performance, and it's utterly watchable, but has no business in the best picture. Not only that, what you guys did with this movie, in a certain sense, is you came home with the farmer's market with the greatest ingredients and the freshest ingredients and made a so-so stew out of it. Like, you shouldn't be rewarded for making a fair to middling omelet when we got them fresh from the chicken coop and the Amish guy just gave you the cheese.
You pulled the onions that day.
It's all the greatest ingredients. It was all there, and you got a fair to middling cheese omelet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like the one. Well, I think there was a lot. We were joking about how many winks to the audience there are in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, it's one long wink.
It's a long wink. And one of my favorites, I'd say my favorite, is Mike Myers as the agent going, "No, what's Bohemian Rhapsody? We need a song that teenagers can bang their heads to in the car." Wink, wink, Wayne's World. It was a great TV movie.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So best. Well, yeah.
You guys remember how they made a stink a few months ago? Like, oh, we're going to add a most popular movie category.
Yes.
Remember popular, and people kind of were up in arms and they kind of scuttled out a little bit. The Oscars don't reveal the voting, you know, whether it's Super Bowl MVP or All-Star. They reveal the voting. They'll show you the Heisman Trophy will reveal the voting afterwards. The Oscars never do that. So it kind of feels like we're going to get our popular movies in there one way or the other.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Well, I'll give you Best Actress and Best Actor, too, and if you want anything else, let me know. But there is only one piece of crossover with the Razzies that I've found so far, and it's not perfect, but it's close. So Best Actress, Yalitza Aparicio from Roma.
I got to say this. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Roma was.
Slow.
Drew said he didn't know what it was. I talked to him when he was watching it. But
it's very skillfully made, but it's going to test your attention span.
Were you talking?
See, you're thinking about Roma.
Zoris. Jet Flap. What's a Zori? Come on, Max Pata.
No, it is.
Jet Flap.
So, what the hell is I talking about? Oh, yeah.
Roma.
Yeah.
True.
He didn't make me want to see it, I guess is the way I'll say it.
Yeah. Anytime someone says, it wasn't my favorite film, but it's an important film, I'm out.
I was watching.
Yeah, so true.
I thought Black Klansman was interesting and had some interesting stuff going on in it.
That's
but
another
it did
one
not feel
your,
like a movie of the best movie of the year.
That's another one with your analogy of the ingredients and the so-so omelet. That was a fascinating story. So great actors. And it ended up being like, all right, that happened. It wasn't too dramatic or tense or interesting. It just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
Azori's a flat thong Japanese sandal.
Oh.
So says Max Pata.
Jap flaps.
Thank you. Sorry.
So Glenn Close for The Wife, Olivia Colman for The Favorite, Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born, and Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me? She's also up for multiple Razzies for The Happy Time Murders. And
you guys should see if Can You Ever Forgive Me? That's a good movie.
I do want to see that.
It's a solid one. With Melissa McCarthy, who's the writer who forges the letters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to. I'm a fan of hers. I'd definitely like to see her.
Love her.
It seems like the best actor category is really knotted up in terms of performances. Christian Bale in Vice, Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born was not nominated for Best Director, by the way. Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book.
Sorry, are you guys with me? I'm sorry. We're just talking about Stars Born,
Melissa McCarthy,
and
Bradley Cooper.
Jet Flaps.
I feel like Bradley Cooper, like not being nominated in the director department. I'm like, good. That's enough. It's enough already with the fucking looks and the now singing and the starring and the writing. God. That's enough.
Guy, he wrote the songs too. This guy can't do anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Nothing
that's enough already.
Do.
We get it.
We got Viggo Mortensen, Bradley Cooper.
His eyes are blue.
Dafoe, and you got Rami Malek, and who's the fifth
one? Christian Bale.
My God, the collection of jawbones
there
alone.
There ain't a fucking double chin.
Has there ever been a nice concentrated jawbone collection?
That's right.
Lou Pearlman's rolling over in his grave somewhere right now.
And by the way, good for Sam Elliott. He's nominated for Best Supporting Actor. How long has that been since Sam Elliott's been in the zeitgeist?
What do you think, Gina? Who should win?
For best actor, from a woman's point of view.
You know, I didn't see everything. I heard Christian Bale was amazing. And I got to say, as average or below average as I thought Bohemian Rhapsody was, Rami Malek is unbelievably incredible as Freddie Mercury. He was transformative.
Well, I agree. And then I saw him on the Golden Globes. I was like, is he still wearing his teeth? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. He's kind of that guy. Like, when I saw the movie, I was like, he transformed himself into Freddie Mercury. And then I saw him on the Golden Globes. I'm like, not so much. Like,
he is Freddie Mercury.
You see him on the... I didn't watch iRobot.
Mr. Roboto. Don't worry, I got him.
When I saw him at the Golden Globes, I thought he still had his dentures in, like
his four extra incisors.
He didn't transform. I saw the movie, and then I saw him at the Golden Globes, and I thought he didn't transform quite as much as I anticipated.
Speaking of physically transforming, it's worth an extra Oscar in itself that we've just taken Christian Bale's performance for granted. Like, oh, he might win. It was amazing. It was so amazing. It was so spectacular.
It's the best thing I've seen in years. I go back to Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison's, like, when you physically become somebody, you should get points. Yep. You should get some extra points.
The fact that we take it for granted should be worth an extra Oscar. Like, you're so great. We assume you're going to do amazing things.
And they give him two Oscars. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Brian, I'm interested if you've seen any of these documentaries that are up.
Just one.
Free Solo, Hale County This Morning, This Evening, Minding the Gap of Fathers and Sons, and RBG.
I've seen RBG. It's good. The Mr. Rogers documentary suffered from what happens sometimes. Like, if a document, so the actors pick the best actor nominees, right? And the directors pick the best director nominees, and then everyone votes at the end. And the documentarians pick the best documentary nominees. And I think sometimes if you have mainstream success, if you make money or you get a big release or whatever, you get punished a little bit. It happened with the Roger Ebert documentary. It happened with Code Black, the great ER documentary. It happened with some really good docs that just didn't, you know, get the nomination because
Fred Rogers.
And Mr. Rogers documentary was spectacular and didn't get nominated.
I'm sorry, but he is the epitome of taking nothing and becoming this incredible success. So they weren't on board with what little he had to work with and became this television icon.
Well, here comes Pop Scarola, but the doc is a even more distilled kind of woke, what's going on, social, whatever. Yeah. And I was like, I remember like last year, I was talking to Matt Porcelain Punisher on the phone. I was like, give me all the themes because the theme... They'll nominate the theme like, oh, she's in her city and she had lost a limb after a train accident and she was raising her mother on her own and then she was discriminated against. It's like they love the themes in the doc. And it was funny. So I was like last year and he was telling me about, the cyclist, like Icarus. Yeah. He's an Olympic cyclist or whatever. And I was like, what? That's a sport. I said, give me a sports doc. Then there's sports docs. He's like, there's Olympic cyclist one. I was like, and there's like Russia. And I was like, yes, now we're back. Now we're back. So what are the themes, Max Pat? I didn't do my homework.
I know a few of
these. I found that the themes do drive the voting sometimes.
You'll be happy to know. Free Solo is just about rock climbing. It's like a really good rock climbing movie.
Stuff white people like.
Minding the Gap is about skateboarding, but as I understand it, the main characters go through some sort of trauma, so there might be some sort of abuse or something in there.
I think these are just women directors.
That's a Chinese guy.
RBG, of course, is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Fathers and Sons, I believe, is a Middle Eastern documentary. Don't quote me on that. And Hale County, I don't know a lot about because it hasn't come out yet.
What is Hale County supposed to be about, Max?
It's a PBS documentary.
You tell me. I'll tell you about BetOnline.ag 2019 starting off. Big thanks to BetOnline.ag. Exclusive partner, Podcast One, Sportsnet. How does an all-expense-paid trip to the big game sound, people? Round-trip flight, hotels, VIP tailgate party, tickets to the big game, all coming up. They'll fly you out to Atlanta, and you can have yourself a great time there. Simple to enter. Just go to betonline.ag, sign up for an account, use the promo code BIGGAME. Don't miss out. Promotion ends January 28th, so let's get going. Visit betonline.ag today for all the details. That's betonline.ag. Use the promo code BIGGAME and get signed up for your chance to go out to the big game. In Hotlanta, baby, with round trip flights and hotels and VIP tailgate party and all the good stuff. Visit betonline.ag today.
Adam, so Hale County is about the lives of black people.
What?
In Hale County, Alabama, oh, southern, no. Yeah, in the South.
So sorry, well, I was wild.
Just their lives in the South. Won a Sundance Film Festival Award for a U.S. documentary special.
All right.
There we go.
So we'll never know if it was that good or there's the affirmative action part, but we'll find out. We'll see it. All right.
All right. Well, people have been tweeting us the story like crazy, so I got to do it. It's pretty gross, but we're just going to have to deal with it. The New York Post reports that an overweight passenger aboard a Taiwanese airliner, I believe he was actually from Los Angeles, by the way, forced flight attendants to move his remove his pants so he could use the toilet.
That was Kevin Smith, right?
Oh, come on.
What heard about that?
Maybe he got a beard. I don't know.
He looks like Burl Ives.
And then wipe his butt as he moaned in pleasure.
By the way, first off, when somebody moans, it's really tough to figure out what kind of moan it is.
Yeah.
Well, a flight attendant for
moaned
Eva.
Moaned in pleasure.
Oh, there's a quote.
I'm looking at this guy. You know what this guy is?
Rick Rubin looks terrible.
He's the guy who...
Go side by side.
Yeah.
He's the guy who gives you the date after he buried someone. I buried my oldest daughter January 22nd, 1997. He gives you the date.
Yeah.
I've been 21 years sober, March 22nd, 1999. I got sober. Like he throws the date. He's a date guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's date a date guy.
Yeah.
If you say to me, when did you start Loveline? I'm like, I don't know. Ask Giovanni. He's but these guys give you the date.
He rolls up a sleeve and shows you the date.
The date. He'll, yes. He'll give you a sobriety date. He'll give you the date he buried his wife. He'll also give you the date he buried his youngest son who like OD'd or something. Yeah, right. He'll talk about dates. It's usually, there's also leaving Vietnam on a certain date,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah,
there's the date of you left Vietnam.
Jap flaps.
There's a date you buried your first wife. There's youngest son, too. There's dates of sobriety. They give you the date. Mm-hmm. Also, why do you need to know the date? Like, you go like, I've been sober for 21 years, March 22nd, 1998. Like, I don't need any documentation. You said you've been sober for 20 years. I've done
we trust
the fucking
you.
Math.
Yeah. So this guy, he was on a plane where, by the way, Eva Air only employs females. So it's a female cabin crew.
That's a fetish.
So the man who was confined to this rascal or this wheelchair, whatever it was, told the flight attendants that he needed some assistance to use the bathroom. The flight attendants told the man they couldn't help him, but he started yelling at them, threatening that he was going to shit on the floor if they didn't help him. The woman, the poor flight attendant, this young lady, managed to keep the door closed behind him in the bathroom with him. But the man, who's about 440, he refused to leave the bathroom unless they wiped him.
He's 400.
That's what the Daily Mail has him at.
Yeah, he didn't look that big.
Maybe they have him at stones or kilos or something.
They
but the forklift pushing him made him look 440.
No.
Look, is it time, Joe?
Yeah.
I've been saying this for a while. We saw it chronicled on Con Air. What about, famously, the Philadelphia Eagles home field has like basically a judge and a drunk tank like in the basement, right? Uh-huh. We're gonna start just putting drunk tanks on planes now, right?
Yes.
Just like a cage in the back where it's like, look, go there, shit on yourself. We'll just hit you with the hose. We'll throw you some Chex Mix or something. But we can't deal with it. Everyone's too fucked up. Everyone's on prescription meds. Everyone's morbidly obese. Everyone's traveling with a fucking dog.
Yeah.
Like, we just need a fucking drunk tank in the back. Just go sleep it off.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. You weirdo.
Yep.
Yeah. Lynette got thrown off a plane because two fucking drunk guys were like fighting in between her. It's insane. That's right.
So this guy.
That's a brilliant idea.
She
by
threw
the way.
A wheel kick, but then it one of the
hilarious.
Cops was escorting her off, though. It worked great.
He wouldn't leave the bathroom unless they wiped him.
What kind of sound did Lynette make before she kicked him?
Kia! Aishinoshi! Sorry.
There he is. And he kept moaning deeper as she was made to wipe him off.
Wait, we're looking at a picture of what, Maxipana?
Well, he's on the jump seat, it looks like, now.
No, I know, but... That's
the flight attendant. That's the press conference.
And there's just a bunch of women crying?
I think that...
No, it's two separate pictures,
that?
Adam.
Are you going to be grudging on their tears?
Adam, it's two separate pictures.
Hey,
I don't want you to think he's sitting on the toilet and they're in first class
crying. You're going to be a pro, sweetie. Maybe the flight game has passed you by.
You know how the game is played. Oh, you don't know how it's played? Oh, well, let me tell you.
Well, when this matter was brought up to the union, it described as blatant sexual harassment and asked Eva that Eva sue the passenger, that the airline sue the passenger, who apparently, by the way, defecated in his pants during a previous flight in 2018.
I don't like this guy.
Why is he flying so much?
I hate this.
He's
dude.
Into this, man.
Where's
this
he
is
going?
Thing.
Where's he going?
Let me tell you something. Everybody, whenever they hear about, they have like, I think it's like China who's talking about like citizen points or some scary Orwellian world.
Yes.
Bring it on, I say. This citizen who pays his fucking taxes and rarely shits himself on a flight, has got no fucking fear of the fucking citizen points. I want the one that goes, oh, but thank you, Mr. Corolla, for paying all your taxes and never littering. Come on board.
Yes. Didn't crap your pants on the coast to coast?
Yes. More Bay Burl Ives who shits himself every time he gets a fucking pressurized cabin. You're out.
Yeah.
We've checked your citizen points. You don't get enough. You can go get a fucking free 6-inch sub over at Subway
citizen
points.
Like that too.
But you're not flying commercial anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
Because guess what? The definition of commercial is other folks who paid good money to be on the flight as well.
Exactly.
All right. Joe Coy has to catch a flight, actually. Yeah. Pick someone up at the airport.
Where are you going, Joe?
Nah, I'm
going
to go defecate somewhere.
So after, I guess after this guy got off the plane, a male attendant asked if he needed to use the bathroom. He says yes. And the guy goes, oh, do you need help? And the passenger goes, no, I can do it myself.
Oh, no.
Also, you know, there's an adult woman daughter somewhere living somewhere in the Fresno area who's going to get the phone call. Your dad was on. He's at a special part of the airport. Oh, Jesus Christ. Poor woman.
Tell me this doesn't have to do with the toilet again.
She's 37.
Not again.
Just got over the fucking divorce. And it's like,
I'm coming, pop, pop.
Meals on the wheels.
All right, Joe Coy has to go. He literally has to make a flight. The Coy Pond, everyone, on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Show's coming up January 31st, and at the Paramount in Huntington, New York, and then Norman, Oklahoma, Showplace Theater, and that is at the Riverwind Casino. That's February 1st, and the Netflix special. We'll come back and talk that one up. Thanks, Joe Coy.
I love you, man.
Love you, man. All right, Gina Grad, what else we got?
Well, I'm going to try and squeeze this in right before Joe walks out the door. A drawing that Tupac drew in prison is up for auction. Bye, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
TMZ reports that Tupac's sexual fantasies are now another man's treasure because the rapper's love letter to his girlfriend just sold for a certain amount. There's some censored blackouts on that picture
looking at. That's a scene from Ray J and Kim.
Exactly. Right. So Tupac's rare prison drawing to his girlfriend received a lot of attention, possibly because they are having sex doggy style. Naked. It earned 10 bids during the Steiner auction, and the winning bid belongs to a wealthy man in his 60s. So Tupac's piece also included the hand-decorated envelope and love letter he sent to his girlfriend in 1995 when he was incarcerated at Clinton Correctional Facility in Dannemora, New York. Any guesses what this went for?
Well, a couple things. Who's the girlfriend that sells the super weird graphic, intimate, super... I don't know that you get more personal than a letter where they've drawn out the two of you having sex.
In great detail, with great sweat detail. Everywhere.
In insane detail, and then made it out and give it like, in terms of like, look, hey, my dad was a Corvette guy, and then he died, so he had five of them, so I sold one of them. You know, like, that's not super weird, but this is super weird. Like, you're just doing this for money. There's no, nothing but money here. This is a intimate thing.
And a love letter.
Sweetheart, you are the opposite of the old lady from the Titanic who threw the brooch off
the
bow.
Ocean,
That is not this.
No, that's the opposite.
There's no more two opposite things than her taking the Hope Diamond and chucking it into the drink.
So no one can have it.
And then your sweaty body written with like prison marker and selling it off.
Yeah.
I can almost hear the music if I close my eyes. All right.
Yeah.
Jesus. But is it ever going to be? I want to know who this woman is. It could never be $6,000.
I was going to say, he died in 96, so she's probably moved on, married, has grandkids by now.
Desiree Smith. We can look her up. Desiree Smith.
Whatever it is too little, I'm going to say more. $50,000.
Oh, well.
Gina, do you have the number?
I do. And it says, missing you deeply, forever with love.
Deeply?
It was sold. Get it?
Yeah, he's behind her.
For $21,155.75. So 21 grand about.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's a nice little chunk of change.
I should have gotten 6,001. I'm really stupid of me.
I'm guessing. It's also kind of weird, too. Like, what happens if she runs into family members? Like, hey, where'd you get this slightly used Camry? I bought it. Wow, I thought you were broke. No, remember that marking, remember that postcard of me being plowed in the rear from the dead guy? Yeah, sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to hop in. We'll do a couple of hot laps.
Yeah. And he's fairly far away from her. So what is he? I wish we could move that black square.
Oh, it's implying that it's quite.
Yeah,
he can do it from
a
distance.
He's endowed.
He can do it from a distance
for sure.
Yeah,
Tupac was really in shape. He really underrepresented his physicality.
He was in good shape, but I still think. But, yeah. When you draw your own cock,
go on.
You
always kind of round up.
Sure,
you know what I mean.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's kind of nowhere near her. In that region. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Mm. Congratulations, Desiree. Tom Arnold news.
Mm.
Something we did not speak about yesterday and hoping he's doing well. Tom Arnold and his wife of 10 years are calling it quits.
Well, I hate to even voice this, but as I see Tom Arnold, Tom gets a little nuttier and he gets a little more manic every time you see him. So he sort of speeds it up just a little bit.
Frenetic.
And he's a likable guy, but he gets a little more manic. And every time I see him, all I think is like, how do you live with Tom Arnold? Like how it's fun, but
he's nice,
but it'd be like, oh, what'd you do? Oh, I moved into a Chuck E. Cheese. But it's fun. But no, but not full time. Not like animatronic bands.
Billy Bob's Jug Band.
Jug Band, a big tub of balls and skee ball and everything. Like, wouldn't you just eating medium crust pizza like your whole life? Like, it seems fun, but not to live there.
Yeah, not a great long-term
plan. Go to a kid's party there, but don't live there. Like, living with Tom Arnold feels like a lot of work, right?
Yeah, there's only so many tickets and you can't buy your happiness.
Right.
Yeah.
So he says.
And then
that,
also, Lynette doesn't have to do a lot of talking me out of shit.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, talking you down.
Like, there's got to be like, Tom's got to be like, fuck that Moyle. We're going to fight, you know? And then she's got to be like, oh, Tom, no, don't fight him.
It's
for charity. It's for charity. Like, no, come on. Like, just let's not get consumed with doesn't seem like a lot of work. Like, you'd have to, like, convince him not to go do a charity fight and
is she
not
the
to
ultimate,
get into the...
Is she the ultimate sort of sainted wife that you talk about a lot, which is, who's the first and last line of defense before you leave the house?
Oh.
You know, is she doing everything she could?
And to that point, think what Tom Arnold's capable of now. With no restrictor plate.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
So I guess Ashley was his fourth wife, decided to move out of their house and get divorced. And he said to Us Weekly, quote, for the last 3 years, it's been very unusual in the house. My kids and I have a whole life, a wonderful life. I've been telling my wife it's okay. Just do whatever you got to do. So she moved out. The couple married in 2009. They have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Also, I've never thought about it, but he's like lives in Beverly Hills, has a big home, hangs out with big time celebrities all the time. But I'm trying to think like what his paycheck is. And then I was thinking, well, did he get a bunch of money from Roseanne and that he didn't go through it like Buster Douglas went through his? Or is there a steady income coming in?
He's got the True Lies money.
Trying to think like big, like I've seen his, like, I don't know. Oh, they're going to do an addition in the house in Beverly Hills. Like, I think it's in Beverly Hills. Like, it could be a $13 million house. Like,
yeah. I mean, if he's still an EP or whatever on Roseanne, it's still in syndication all over the world. That could be just the mailbox money.
Give me his net worth, Max Zapata.
$30 million.
Curious. $30 million.
$30 million.
Wow. I got to tell you, I didn't intentionally do my net worth, but I found out my net worth. No. And I've seen other guys I know, and I'm like, they're around, they're kind of in the ballpark. So I tend to believe them.
Are you like Michael Moore, like maybe with the house, maybe with a couple of the cars?
Well, I really am the Michael Moore because I don't have any money. I just have a bunch of stuff.
Right.
So I'm not
You're not liquid.
I'm not worth
If we were
anything.
Doing a fire sale.
No, no. I got to pay the IRS like $1 million, actually.
Oh, I just found out.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, but still not my fair share. I'm coasting on my privilege, man. Come on.
Pony
fair
up.
Fair share.
Kids got to go to school.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. If I ever paid my fair share in taxes, it would be the best fucking day of my life. It would be the greatest. It'd be the greatest day of my life. I just find everyone I went to high school with and find out what they earned and how much they pay in taxes. And then I'd pay right in the middle of that number.
Perfect average.
And we'd find out like how many times I used the park and
feel free to round up.
How many times I call the fire department or social services or anything, ambulance or anything. I just figure if I could really drill down on my fair share, it'd be the greatest. I would never be happier than finding out the news that I was now able to pay my fair share.
Wow.
I would love it. I would love it. I would, it would, you guys think I'm kidding. It'd be the fucking greatest day of my life. We'd just find out what the average of everyone who pays in taxes is, and then I would just pay that amount.
Wait, are you suggesting that Ray and Chris don't pay near $1 million in taxes?
Well, they're combined.
Okay.
The thing that's funny about, when you get into trouble, as a few of my friends did, you find out like all of us pay taxes, and then at some point they go to you and they go, "You owe $68,000," and the guy goes, "Oh, I don't have any money." And they go, "How about we do offer and compromise?" And you go, "Okay, how's that work? How about you pay 12 cents on every dollar you owe?" And they go, "All right, I owe you $9,000." Like, okay, and you can work the payments out over 2 years. You're like, okay, and it's great. You go, "Hey, good for you." But then you're like, "Wait a minute, I just paid the full amount.
This is what you owed. This is on the bill."
Yeah.
Yeah, we just pay what we owe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you need some money, there is a company that's hiring that you might be interested in. The Oscar Mayer Hot Dog Company is looking for its next hot dogger, a.k.a. the person who drives the Wienermobile. The job is more than just driving, though. Oscar Mayer said the position will last for a year, and you're basically a goodwill ambassador for the brand.
I could see myself with my skills. And, you know, I have a vintage racing license and an SCCA license. I've driven a professional Trans Am race. So I feel skilled.
Feel qualified.
Enough to drive the Oscar Mayer Mobile.
This might be a good move for you. They said it's a competitive salary.
Yeah.
To other Wienermobiles?
Until.
To the Hebrew National Mobile?
No.
To the ballpark mobile?
Until I spot the Del Taco Mobile, in which case it's ramming speed. I'm coming up behind like Tupac.
The drawing's for you.
The bumper ain't going to save shit.
Missing you deeply.
That'd be the greatest fucking rear ending of all time. Big old Del Taco Mobile going down the street. Ramming speed!
Song listener, please. Yeah. Please make Photoshop that.
I think I made up the Del Taco Mobile, but if there was, we got to get those two together.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock. Stolen identity. What a nightmare. Protect yourself. Always shred bank statements, bills, or documents that contain personal information. Keep important documents like birth certificates and social security cards. Put them in a safe. Bolt that safe down, too, would you, man? And use different strong passwords for your online accounts and smartphone. So many ways for cyber criminals to steal your identity. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because you will have the industry standard. You will have LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions in all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for an extra 10% off.
All right. One more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, if you like to pray on the go, I have some great news for you. Reuters reports that Pope Francis swiped a tablet on Sunday to launch a new app allowing the faithful to pray with him. It's called Click to Pray, and it'll inform the user what the leader of the world's 1.3 billion Roman Catholics is praying for currently, such as world peace or, you know,
like trending topics
yes,
for prayers?
Yes, exactly. A country hit by a national disaster, so you can join in. A Vatican statement said, www. www.clicktopray.org would allow the faithful to accompany the Pope in a mission of compassion for the world. And now you can download it.
I don't like the Pope joining us in the modern world.
Well,
I'm not down with that.
I agree. And in his defense, they half the article was about how he doesn't understand technology. And they said, just touch the screen here. And he's like, did I do it? I don't know what's happening. So they're definitely trying to drag him into 2019.
I like old schooly.
Old Pope.
With the smoke. That's how we know what
smoke,
he's praying for.
I don't want him to know, like, I'm a big LeBron James fan. Or, like, I don't want any of that. I want him to not know anybody or anything.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to tweet.
That's why do we have that position if he's going to join us all in the modern era?
Yeah.
We don't need that. I need old Pope. All right, did you bring it home?
I'll bring it home right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Kia! Aishidoshi! Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, my favorite's coming on tomorrow, Van Lathan from TMZ.
Oh,
I love TMZ. He's really good on that show. All right. Tell your boyfriend, Derek.
Hello.
I'll tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money and you put it in your pocket. It'll be the best thing you do all day at Geico. That is Geico, geico.com. I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv tomorrow. I'm going to do about 20 minutes of new stand-up at the top of the show, and then we'll bring David Zucker out. We'll break apart the basic cable commentary on Airplane and show you the movie that inspired it and everything else. So come on out, say hi, and afterward we'll go sign some autographs and take some pictures like we always do. So come on out to Irvine. Connecticut Foxwoods Casino, doing stand-up and Unprepared. I'll do it over there on the 8th, and then off to the Wilbur Theater in Boston. Beautiful. Come on out and say hi for that.
And also, if you want to be Adam's sidekick, just tweet us your video of telling us why, or email to questions@adamcarolla.com.
You mean Corolla's cutie instead of Barker's beauty?
That's right.
I like that.
Come on up on stage, pull them ping pong balls, and perhaps one that's attached to me. Road Hard's on Tubi TV. That's with a U and an I, and you can watch it for free. That's streaming. Check that out. Get some of Baldy's socks over there, man. Good enough for Joe Coy, good enough for you at AdamCarolla.com. And the Booze and Book Club is up and running and ready to go February 7th, 8 o'clock at 10E. So Dawson will get you all filled in on that. If you go to AdamCarolla.com, you can find out about that.
Match game tonight.
And match game's on tonight on ABC. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Joe Coy, Jeremy Shepp, Gina Grad, and Bull Bryan saying mahalo.
Jap Flaps.
Stick around for today's episode of Good Sports with Adam Carolla and Dave Damaschek. It's coming right up. Carolla Drinks is back in stock. You guys drank us dry this holiday season, but fear not. We've got cases and cases of fresh, original, white, and brosé for you to guzzle down in the new year. To celebrate Ace and Sonny's Rams making it to the big game, we've got a brand new offer for you. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and use promo code RAMS at checkout for 20% off orders of three or more bottles. Let's all raise a glass of Mangria and say thank you to the referees. Visit CorollaDrinks.com. Promo code RAMS.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents
Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla there. If you want to get ready for the Super Bowl, no better place to go, well, besides Good Sports, of course, than the Dave Damashek football program. We're off to Atlanta. Big interviews lined up. Deshaun Watson, Jalen Ramsey. There's word of Matt Ryan joining us in Atlanta for some deep dive interviews. Looking forward to those. In the meantime, looking forward to talking, as always, with one of the great talkers on the face of the earth, Adam Carolla, ace. Speaking of great talkers, we were just talking about the Holy Roller on yesterday's Good Sports. It would be a shame to mention that play without listening to the greatest play-by-play call of all time.
Bill King.
Yeah, Bill King, the late great.
Yeah, caught balls on the 14-yard line.
I think this is 78 in San Diego. And by the way, look at the dirt field. The dirt infield is still out there. It's glorious. Raiders and Chargers, the uniforms couldn't be better on both sides. The Chargers look sublime. The Chargers hold the lead. The Raiders trying to pull out a victory, impossibly. Last play of the game, like you say, Ken Stabler bowls the ball forward. Dave Kasper kicks it into the end zone, falls on it for a bogus touchdown that stands. Anyway, that's the backdrop.
All right.
The crowd takes up a chant of defense. Robisky and Banaszak are the back. Slot right. Branch inside. Bradshaw, Stabler back. Here comes the rush. He sidesteps. Can he throw? He can't. The ball flipped forward is loose. A wild scramble. 2 seconds on the clock. Kasper grabbing the ball. It is ruled a fumble. Kasper has recovered in the end zone. The Oakland Raiders have scored on the most zany, unbelievable, absolutely impossible dream of a play. Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said, yes, get your big butt out of here. He does. There's nothing real in the world anymore. The Raiders win the football game.
There's nothing real.
Look at Otis Sistrunk is down there.
They don't believe it. Nobody
Otis Sistrunk.
I don't know if the Raiders believe it. It's not real. 52,000 people minus a few lonely Raider fans are stunned. A man would be a fool to ever try and write a drama and make you believe it. This one will be relived forever.
Or at least until 2019. We'll see who picks it up from here.
There's nothing real in the world anymore. I love that.
There's so many things that are... John Matuszak runs up, movie star, to shake John Madden's hand. Future all-time great analyst. Who would have thought that, because he was the head coach of the evil Raiders, who no one liked at the time. This guy would go on to be the beloved broadcaster of all time.
I forgot about Banaszak or whatever. Taking it on the 10-yard line and scooping it and throwing it forward another 8 yards.
But even with him, Stabler tries to do it. Okay, Banaszak tries to move it forward, and it kind of works. Then Dave Kasper gets to it at about the 2. As you hear, the clock is expired, so if he doesn't get it into the end zone, the game's over anyway. He kicks it a little bit into the end zone. It's an oblong ball. It just goes perfectly into the end zone, so he falls on it. And the subtle great part of that call, too, is that behind Bill King, you can hear the stat guy or the researcher just go like, the whole time, he can't believe it either. What a gem.
Would you be down with this, which is they do this in like automotive sports and Olympic sports and stuff like that, where the next day somebody makes an announcement from the office like, no win. Like, we've reviewed everyone's running off the field. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to do in the heat of battle. I think a lot of the referees... Somebody says, you got to make a call right now. And the one guy looks at the other guy, another guy looks at the other guy, and they go touchdown, and they run off the field. If anyone ever sat down and really discussed what took place on that last play, they would just come back the following Monday morning.
Yeah,
and
bad
say,
news.
Raiders do not get that victory.
Yeah, as it turns out, you were right, Bill King. Nothing is real. Well, that game result was not real, so we're not going to allow it to stand. I would like it with objective things. Not if they went against my team, I would be outraged. It's always a funny thing. In baseball, it seems like a petulant thing is the manager runs out onto the field to argue a call that the umpire made, and in the history, they never have reversed. Yeah, you make a good point, Skip. All right, we'll reverse that. They're never going to do that. And then all the time, the manager protests the game. Well, the game's now under protest.
Right.
Okay. Well, what to what end? What is that? What has that ever led to? I wonder if that's what the pine tar thing was with. If that was a protest with George Brett, and that's why it did. Wonder if that's evidence of a protest actually leading to them having to come back 20 days later and finish a game. That'd be awesome if I kind of would. I'd sign off on that. Come to think of it, all right, it's more football, more sports for us.
Yeah, it's just that is an insane. Insane play, but a rule was then instituted because of that.
Yeah, that you can't fumble the ball forward. Right. So I still can't answer the question of where the tuck rule came from. But in the meantime, a hard right turn into the world of NHL hockey. And sort of. I went to the game a couple Saturdays ago with Jean-Claude Van Damischek. Took him out to see our Pittsburgh Penguins. On the wrong side of things with the LA Kings, but I didn't know it was happening at the time. But Snoop Dogg also was in attendance that night, and he went up to the broadcast booth and he called a little hockey. Do you want to hear some of that?
I do.
Luga dropped it. There it goes. Get your back. Watch your back. There it is, right behind his back. 23 trying to slide in where he ride in. Up against the wall, kicks it against the knees. There it is, right there. Oh, good. Quick pass it inside, outside. Quick, retrieves the puck, slows it down, holds it down. Power play, not effective.
Wow.
it's not bad.
We still can regroup and get some money. Let's get some money. Come on, eight.
Can he do my Aiden, ways, that, boys?
Oh, yeah. Doty, Doty, Doty. That's my dog. Let's go run the weave. Run a three-man weave. Get there. Get there. There. Get there. Get there. Get there. Watch your back. Turn it around. Get there. Come on. Good job, Doty. Good pass. Give it back to him. Oh, get there. Come on now. Come on. Set him up.
You couldn't do – he couldn't do radio. It's not descriptive enough. But when you're – like people – that's the thing they always say is the radio broadcaster like our pal Matt Money Smith will tell you like that's way harder because you have to describe everything to, you know, to paint the picture. If you're on TV, that – not since Ty Montgomery, the wide receiver, decided I'm going to play running back and then started making hay as an NFL running back was no. You got to work at this for decades to get good at it has Snoop undermined the profession of so many. I'd watch that.
Look, this may seem racially insensitive, but I think turnabout is fair play. I say Ed Sheeran needs to call an NBA game.
I'll do
not
that.
Not the whole game. Not the whole game. Mm. But turnabout is fair play.
Wow.
And I'd like to hear Ed Sheeran calling a professional NBA game.
Now, Ace, correct me if I'm wrong. You see no color.
No.
I like those people who want to announce, they want to make the statement to the world that they're beyond race, beyond seeing race. Like, is something wrong with you? You should see a doctor about that. You can't.
God forbid those guys ever witness a crime because they're always going to want to know. Like,
what did you see? Like, I don't know. It seemed like a human. That's about all I know.
A Skittles bag took that old lady's purse.
Are you sure it was a Skittles bag? Could it have been a person?
It could have been the gay flag. I'd have to see him in the lineup.
All right. Another hot episode of Hot Sports Talk on Good Sports. What else do you need to know? Adam Carolla, Dave Damischek. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good
Sports. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail, if you please, at 888-634-1744. Visit AdamCarolla.com to get tickets to Adam Carolla is Unprepared, February 8th in Connecticut, February 9th in Boston. Get Paul Bryan's socks at DivvyUpSocks/BB. And come to the Tenney Booze and Book Club, February 7th at Tenney. With FBI undercover agent Mike McGowan. Info on all of this stuff is online at AdamCarolla.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.